Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome, dear viewers, to another episode of our program, Our Islamic Beliefs. And inshallah, in today's program, we'll be covering another important topic related to our aqidah, our doctrine, our Islamic belief. Before we begin, let us hear an excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi. Salutations upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, our beloved alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, Man qala sallallahu ala Muhammad, iftataha ala nafsihi sab'ina baban min ar-rahmah. Whoever recites sallallahu ala Muhammad, he has opened for himself 70 doors of mercy. Now, subhanAllah, this is that very same Durood Sharif, sallallahu ala Muhammad, which is often heard in the environment of Dawat Islami, whether it's the Ijtima'at, Madani Muzakara, Madani Channel. Muballighin constantly say, Sallu ala al-Habib, that send salat upon the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in reply, the attendees, the viewers, they recite this particular Durood Sharif, sallallahu ala Muhammad. What's the benefit? One is opening 70 doors of mercy for himself. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, dear viewers, in this episode today, we're going to hear about the importance of only speaking correctly and in accordance to the Sharia of Islam when we ever get the opportunity and the honor of speaking and conversing regarding our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of all the worlds, Rabbul Alameen. And the reason why this is so important is because in this day and age of great tribulation and fitna, people are seen, people are heard saying certain things which Islamically are not allowed to be said regarding the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important that whenever we speak about Allah Azza wa Jal, we say only that which is in line with Quran and Hadith, which is only befitting our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if we say kalimat and statements which negate any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or show any weakness in our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, or fall in the category of disrespect towards our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, then this will be very, very detrimental, to the extent that at times people can even lose their iman because what they've said goes against the tenets of Islam, goes against what we can say regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all, remember, this is that very same tongue which we recite to renew our faith. If someone's not a Muslim, they use that tongue. They recite Kalima Shahada, they become a Muslim. Very powerful. And it's also that very same tongue that if we utter something which is un-Islamic, which is blasphemous, which is disrespectful, which is insulting towards Allah Azza wa Jal, His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the symbols of faith, then we lose our iman. So, in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu aminu. O believers, believe. Now what does this mean? O believers, believe. Believers have already believed. Why are they given the command? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu. Now here, the ulama of Islam have said what this means is, after you've accepted faith, then remain steadfast on faith. Only do those things which strengthen faith, which make your iman strong. And stay away from those things which weaken faith. Stay away from those things which are detrimental to faith or which negate faith. And in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا وَرَبُّونَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. He mentions the reward of those who are steadfast in this regard. He says, indeed, those who said, Rabbuna Allah, our Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they remain steadfast upon faith, meaning they fulfill the requirements of faith. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon them. And what do those angels say? How do they address that person who has iman and is steadfast upon iman? أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. What do they say? أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. Do not fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And do not grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Rejoice upon Jannah, that Jannah which you have been promised. Subhanallah. This is the reward for those who are steadfast upon iman. And it doesn't end there. The angels say, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, are your companions, we are your friends in the dunya, in the worldly life, and in the akhirah as well. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And for you in Jannah is whatever you desire, whatever your nufus, yourselves desire. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And for you in Jannah is that which you have been promised. Subhanallah. And they also say, this is a feast from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ghafoor, all forgiving, Rahim, all merciful. Subhanallah. So this is the importance of being steadfast. If you're steadfast, it leads to these rewards. And it goes without saying that if someone is not steadfast, then due to ignorance, due to a lack of knowledge, due to other factors, he may end up uttering things which damage his faith, nullify his faith even, ma'adallah. And it happens in life where people go through trials, people go through difficulties and hardships, and they feel broken. But that's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we're tested, we show patience. Where else will you show patience? Obviously, you'll show patience when you're up against it. When you're being tested, severely tested, that's when you will show patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test people. But why is it the case that when we're going through bliss, when we're in ease, when we're seeing our life passing by in a state of bliss, tranquility, peace, that could be in the form of family life, that could be in the form of work, in the form of children, relations with others, everything seems to be going so smoothly and so well. But the moment we suffer, and any of these things I've been mentioned, we begin to complain. Do we actually glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're in bliss? Many people fall negligent. They forget. They forget that there are those out there, there are people out there who would love to be in your position. But because we're always looking at those above us, we become ungrateful. But specifically when we fall into hardship, when we fall into difficulty, what happens? We begin complaining. Look, Quran al-Karim tells us, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. As for insan, human, when his Lord tests him, how? By giving him honor and blessings. This is how a person is tested as well. What does he say? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. He says, my Lord has honored me. And the moment he faces difficulty, what happens? وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. And as for when his Lord tests him and he reduces his risk or he constricts his risk upon him, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا, he says, my Lord has insulted me, my Lord has disgraced me. And even if he doesn't say it, these are the thoughts that could be crossing in his mind. And they're very wrong. Remember Allah in times of bliss, remember Allah in times of difficulty. It's only Him who can get you out of that situation, nobody else. So when you complain, when you speak against the same Lord who gave you all those blessings initially, then how is that going to do any good for your iman? You'll end up destroying your iman. And we're told as Muslims to have husnul dhann billah, to have a good opinion regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to have an evil or an ill assumption regarding Allah, astaghfirullah, this is haram. This is impermissible. And then, if that complaint leads to objections against Allah, then that's the next step. That leads to kufr, that leads to disbelief, that leads to someone leaving the fold of Islam. When we are in ease, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give you more. Don't be neglectful. And when you're tested, be patient. Be from the sabirin. Pray to Allah for sabr. Pray to Allah that you're able to bear that hardship, to tolerate that hardship. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? The Quranic formula, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. He says it first time, and then he says it a second time. Indeed, with difficulty comes ease. Indeed, with difficulty comes ease. This is guaranteed in life. If you go through difficulty, Allah ta'ala will provide ease. In what form? We will see. But know that the words of your Lord are true. We have to rely upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how does a person object? When he faces that hardship and he can't bear it, he's upset, he's disheartened, he's frustrated, he's angry, all of these emotions, then na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. A person would end up saying things like, if there was a creator, he would have helped me out in this situation. Ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah. If Allah existed, if there was a creator, I wouldn't be going through so much. This tribulation would end. So what has he done there? A person has denied the existence of Allah, the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is wajibul wujud. His existence is wajib. This is our belief. Just because things are not going exactly the way you want them to, that doesn't mean to say you do inkar, you reject the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Of course, someone who rejects the wujud of Allah is not a Muslim. He leaves the fold of Islam. Another example I can give is when people make dua, we should make dua. Ya Allah, remove this pain of mine, remove this difficulty of mine. Continue making dua. Why? Because dua is ibadah. It's mukhul ibadah. It's the essence of worship. Every time you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're rewarded for that. That will weigh heavy on the scale on the day of judgment. But when we don't see the fruits of that dua imminently, instantly in the dunya, we start to lose hope. We know already that that's not the only way dua is accepted. In one hadith, we're told that dua is accepted in three different ways. Either you're granted the thing you ask for, or an impending difficulty is repelled, or Allah Ta'ala saves the reward of that dua for you in the akhirah. When a person sees the reward for those du'as that were saved for the akhirah, he will think, if only all my du'as were saved for the akhirah. This life is temporal, life is short-lived. 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, if someone's lucky. So, du'a is important. And to say things in reaction to du'a not being accepted, bazaahir, which again object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, if Allah existed, He would have heard my dua. Na'udhu billah. If Allah existed, then I would have attained what I made supplication for by now. These are also dangerous words that lead to a person nullifying his iman. He's doing inkar of the wujud of Allah. And one of the main reasons why Views of Madin channel, we are facing this problem as an ummah. I'tirad, objections upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because of social media consumption, or media in general. People watch films, people watch dramas, people watch things they're not supposed to watch. And that dialogue that they hear, the words that they hear, they begin to internalize them. They begin to adopt them, they begin to say them, without understanding the implications. Some people, na'udhu billah, hear other people say on social media, very easily, go to hell. And they'll start using that in their daily speech, go to hell. But do you know what you're actually saying? You're actually asking for that person to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the implications of what we're saying are dangerous. There are other examples that can be given which are way worse, where a person directly attacks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what he's heard on social media. In jest, joking, people lie. People make up things. People mock the deen. just to gain some views. Or I'll make a small clip, I'll make it viral, I'll make a reel, and I'll base it around someone offering salah and then the rest of the script, or someone in the graveyard, and they'll put an Islamic theme on it. But they're disrespecting the deen there, and they don't even realize. They think they have a pass or a license to do that or say that. It's very, very disgusting. Very dangerous for a person's iman as well. So we need to save ourselves. We need to save our offspring from social media and its evil use as well. Also, in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's other misconceptions that are widespread. For example, attributing makan, physical location, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying Allah is in a particular place. And again, these are things which people learn from films, dramas, etc. And they say, Uparwala, for example, the one who is above in the heavens. Now, if they mean physically, Allah Ta'ala is there, that's disbelief. If they mean He is the owner of the heavens and the earth, if they mean anything else, if they mean anything else which can be interpreted in a different way, then the ulama will do that interpretation. But then again, we won't advise that somebody says that. But these things are armed, these things are common and general. People are saying this. And remember, a simple answer to remove this misconception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadeem. His dhat, His being is Qadeem, beginningless, pre-eternal. He's always existed, always will exist. His sifat are the same, they're Qadeem. Everything else is hadith, meaning came from Adam to wujud. From non-existence into existence. Everything else is created. This world, the heavens, the earth, the galaxies, stars, the skies, the kursi, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody is saying Allah ta'ala is physically where the arsh is, physically upon the kursi, etc., then the simple question would be, all of these things were created, where was Allah? And they won't be able to answer. Because Allah Ta'ala exists without time and space. He is not confined by the laws of time and space. He is the one who created time and space. He is the one who created the directions up, down, left, right, front, ahead, back. Allah Ta'ala is the one who created these things. How can He be confined and restricted to any physical place? That's a weakness. And again, that's an anthropomorphic way of looking at things, meaning Mujassima, a sect in early Islam, and many people still have these beliefs today as well. They said that Allah had a jism, just like normal beings, human beings. And we say Allah Ta'ala says regarding Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Laysa ka mithlihi shay. Nothing is like Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He's not like creation. He's different. So we can't do qiyas, analogy on ourselves and say, we have hands and Allah has said in the Quran, Yadullah, that means He has physical hands. There we say Allah Ta'ala has used certain words in Quran Al-Kareem, but they cannot be interpreted in the same way that we interpret them for insan. We don't know the kayfiyah. We don't know anything regarding that. This is the way of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. These are from the ayat, mutashabihat, ambiguous, or those verses which need interpreting according to what befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or another group of Ahlul Sunnah, they say, we just leave the meaning to Allah. We don't even attempt at interpreting at all. When a person starts to interpret and incorrectly interpret, which is not supported by Quran and Hadith, by the Asraf, by the ulama of the past, that's when he falls into great error. So these are things that we should learn from the beginning. Allah Ta'ala is free from jism, body, direction, being confined and restricted to a physical location and place. We need to learn these ourselves. We need to convey these teachings to our coming generations as well, if we want to help them safeguard their iman. And people in various fields have to be careful and cautious. Just because you're a teacher at school, for example, just because someone's a teacher at school doesn't mean he can speak on these topics if he's not aware of them, if he's not studied them in depth. So whatever you convey ahead has to be correct. If you have learned the correct aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then it's good because you have a reach, you have an audience, you have people who are connected to you. Try and teach them. But knowledge comes first. We won't ever be able to judge or say something regarding a particular belief that is widespread without knowledge, without sufficient knowledge regarding it. You have to learn the deen. and who has the task of interpreting the statements of people or highlighting what is incorrect in what people say? The ulama of Islam, the muftis of Islam. Now, if a mufti of Islam has declared something, a particular statement, or saying to be wrong regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or any other tenets of faith, we follow that. It's an authentic Sunni mufti of Islam. But we ourselves are not going to take that responsibility into our own hands and say, oh, this is incorrect to say. In my opinion, this is kufr. In my opinion, this is this. Nobody's asking for your opinion. The opinion of the ulama is the opinion of Quran and Hadith. We have to study. And this is understood in other fields. Why is it not understood here? I will go to the doctor and say, oh, I think you're doing your job wrong. I don't have any knowledge regarding medicine or that field. And I say, why did you prescribe this? Why did you do that? Or you should do this. This is how you're supposed to handle this situation. You look at me and think, what are you doing? I'm the one who studied all these years. Similarly, if I go to another person in a different field, someone working in a lab, someone working elsewhere, and I start telling them what to do, and I'm unqualified in that field. So when it's understood that I can't just walk into a building where there are people of a particular profession and give my opinion when I'm not qualified to do so, then why is it when it comes to the deen, we think we can say what we like? If we think something is wrong, we'll say, oh, I think that's wrong. And all we're trying to say by that is that it's a sin, it's haram, or this is okay. Remember, what we think or our opinions don't count when it comes to the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ulama know where there is leniency, where there is strictness, what are the rulings of Sharia. They've spent their entire lives, they've devoted their entire lives to learning Quran, Hadith, Tafsir, Usul al-Fiqh, Usul al-Hadith, the various sciences. A mufti studies Takhassus al-Fiqh, he's in Iftah, he knows the Usul of Iftah, the Asbab al-Sitta, why would a fatwa change in a particular time period, what are the reasons for that. But we don't know these things, and we don't know them to a level where we have a mufti title before our name. And if we don't, the afiya lies in remaining quiet. If we're worried about a particular statement someone's uttered or we may have uttered, then what do? We go simply to the ulama, to the muftis of Islam, and we say, look, this has been said. What's the sharia hukam upon it? Is there any valid interpretation on it? And that way, we're increasing our knowledge as well, and we're not taking matters into our own hands. So anything aqidah related, anything sharia related, of course. But we're speaking about aqidah, especially the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this episode. Anything in that regard, if we're confused, if we need clarification, elaboration, we go to the ulama of Islam. And inshallah, they will give us satisfactory answers to our questions. We will be mutma'in, and we will increase our knowledge by doing so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all beneficial knowledge. May Allah ta'ala grant us strength in iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from any such thing which weakens our faith, or ma'adallah, summa ma'adallah, nullifies the faith. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we